Peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Loyalty is not exactly the same as it used to be. The whole idea and the definition of being loyal is the same. We all know what that is, but I think in terms of its existence within the world, it has lessened a bit, especially when it comes around occupations and employment. Used to be, it wasn't all that uncommon to find somebody who worked for one company for their entire career. And they were proud of it. And they were loyal to that company. They loved that company. That company gave them things, and they gave their abilities and skills to that corporation. And they were fiercely loyal. Then, about the 70s, the world changed a little bit. There began to be, I think, a little bit more of a sensitivity to the bottom line. And so people who normally would be held on to were let go. And now we live in a world where that's more commonplace than anything else. People changing jobs all the time because they find a better job or because the company they were working for decided that they should go find a better job, and so they let them go somewhere else. And so that sense of loyalty really has diminished a great deal, I think, over our society. But loyalty still exists, and still exists in very fierce ways. All I have to do is tell you one thing, and most of you will understand where loyalty truly lives, and that is in the life of the fan. Yeah. And it's funny that loyalty really sets up some pretty strident boundaries. Coming from Pennsylvania, if you were a fan of Penn State, you could not be a fan of the University of Pittsburgh. I would imagine in Iowa, being an Iowa State fan or a University of Iowa fan, there's a line that's drawn there somewhere. When you look at here, the University of Arizona and Arizona State, come on. I actually saw a bumper sticker that had both symbols from each school, and it said, "I'm from a mixed family." But in some places, you can't even do that. I lived in the New York City metropolitan area for nearly 20 years, and the one thing I discovered in a city where there are multiple teams for the same sport, if you were a true fan, you could only be fan for one. So if you had the misfortune of being a Yankees fan, you could never claim any sort of affection to the Mets. Can't do it. If you're a Giants fan, you loathe the Jets. If you were a Knicks fan, you could never root for the Nets. And if you were a Rangers fan, well, you couldn't look at the Islanders or the New Jersey Devils in any sort of favorable way. Because if you did, you weren't really a fan. Not a real fan, you were a poser. But we do have loyalties in other places too. We have this whole Lutheran thing. But even within the Lutheran thing and the loyalty we might have to our denomination, there are still splits and differences. Think about Lutheranism in this country. We got Lutherans from the Wisconsin Synod, from the Missouri Synod. We have ELCA Lutherans, and we have a bunch of other ones that I can't even remember the names of. And then if you even go beyond that, we have Danish Lutherans, we have Finnish Lutherans, we have Swedish Lutherans, we have Norwegian Lutherans, we have German Lutherans. And there is some fierceness and loyalty to those sorts of things. So, if you're up in those northern countries close to the Arctic Circle, in December, I think it's the 13th, there's a feast day for St. Lucia. And there's this whole thing of putting candles in a girl's hair and having them come down with limbs of cookies and stuff like that. And that's part of the Christmas Advent tradition. You got to have it. Tell that story to a German Lutheran and they'll look at you like your head's spinning around because they've never heard of St. Lucia. It's just the differences that exist. But it is the loyalties that we have for the things that we know, the things that we understand, the things that we value. In today's epistle, the second lesson. Paul talks a little bit about that. And he talks about it in a way that makes some people think that maybe he's really pushing vegetarianism, but he's not. What he's talking about is the role that we play as believers, the role we play as Christians in terms of our place out in the world. Because one thing about people of faith is that people watch us. People are trying to figure out what this is all about. Well, if they know you're one of them, they're going to watch you. They're going to try to figure out what it means to be a Christian. In our case, what it figures out what it means to be a Lutheran sort of Christian. And so, as they're trying to understand what faith is about and how people of faith lead their lives, they might look at how we act. They might watch and listen to how we speak, the words we use, the way we treat people, the things that we do within our lives. And for Paul, that was a very relevant thing. He called them weak-minded. I don't think I'd like that whole weak-minded thing because it reminds me of me. It is more, I think, of a seeker or somebody who's trying to develop their faith a little bit. And he's warning the people who are steadfast in their faith about what they do with themselves and who they're affiliated with. In this case, affiliated by having meals in pagan surroundings. Because the pagans would have these great feasts, and they weren't really anything that you wanted to miss because they were great parties. And so the Christians would go in there and they'd partake in the feast. And they say, oh, I don't believe this hoo-ha stuff, but, you know, I'll eat the food because it's really good. But Paul's saying, listen, the people who don't understand or the people who are trying to figure this out then might think that being a Christian means you need to be a pagan. Too. Guilt by association. We don't like that. We don't like to be that because, you know, we want to be able to be judged on our own merits, not by who we're hanging around with. But, you know, the funny thing is we only like that as adults, don't we? Because when we talk about our children, oh, you can't hang around with that group. They're bad news. You hang around with them, people are going to think you're just like them. But Dad, come on. I'm not like them. You know that. Yeah, I know that. But when other people see you, they're not going to know that. So you got to be careful about who you hang around with. It's funny how, as we get older, we say, well, we can set that aside. And yet, we're judged by our affiliations. People look at us and understand who we are, or they think they understand who we are by the people we hang around with, by the clubs and associations that we join, by the groups we're with. And if we happen to be with a group that might have some kind of exclusionary policy, then they're going to think, well, that's the way Christians are. Then we're going to exclude certain people because we don't want them to be part of our group. Or if it's a group that has some volatile speech coming out of it, they're like, well, that's what Christians do. They talk about these sorts of things because I know him, her, and him, they're all part of that group. So that's what Lutherans must do. You see, Paul's whole point was who we hang out with is as important as how we act and what we say and what we do. Because all of those things end up being interpreted in terms of the outsiders looking in, drawing conclusions about who we are, what we do, and what we believe. Because people will draw conclusions about what we believe, not just about what goes in this place, but what goes on in the totality of our worlds. And so Luther says, you know, and this is to paraphrase, because I don't think he ever said, you know. You have to look at what we are and who we are and what we do. And everything that we choose needs to be referenced through Scripture. Is this where God would want us to be? Is this where Christ would want us to act? Is this how we should be within the scope of being a Christian? Some things are very clear in the Bible. Yes and no. Other things are a little bit more hazy. But the reality is for us that we need to evaluate every aspect of our lives through Scripture. We need to understand where we are in terms of what, who we... Let's reverse that a little bit, because I like speaking in complete sentences most of the time. We need to evaluate our lives in a way that allows us to understand exactly how Christ has called us and intends for us to be able to live our lives. We are examples of faith, not just here, but each and every day of our lives through all that we do and all that we say and all that we are. And so how we live our lives is vitally important, and who we live our lives with is equally important. In the messages that we send, verbally and non-verbally, make a difference to people who are trying to understand what faith is all about. God gives us a great opportunity each and every day of our lives to be able to reach out to the world and to be examples of faith. And we are those examples of faith here and out there. And I think more significantly, out there. Because when people out there see who we are, what we do, how we act, and what we say, and we do it in the manner for which God finds appropriate, then we're doing the job. It's not about whether we eat meat or not. It is about how we serve the world and how the world sees us. God has placed us to a higher standard. A standard for which we need to live each and every day, so the world will truly know what people of faith are all about. Amen.